For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Jokum. Matt joins me. We are discussing Formula One today. Not a ton to get to before we preview probably one of my least favorite races on the calendar, but nonetheless, we'll soldier through it. But Matt, do you want to start with the Schumacher documentary? Kind of just, I don't want to review the entire thing, but maybe just a couple minutes on what you think versus what I think, and we'll take it from there.
Kind of like the IndyCar episode. Sorry if I sound a little douchier than normal. I'm not feeling super hot today.
Yeah.
And I'll probably be more idiotic. I'll be more idiotic than normal, which is scary.
Is that possible?
I know. That's scary. You know, if you started throwing F1 trivia at me right now, I probably would fail. I don't know if you want to.
No, because I always fail at that. So
maybe in like 5 minutes, you can throw like two at me. Just see how my mental state is right now. Yeah, the Schumacher documentary came out. First of all, I learned last night that you haven't seen Senna. I'm greatly disappointed in you.
I have it in my like Netflix like watch, my like watch queue thing, and I was all set to watch it actually like a month ago. As you know, my life is very hectic right now, so I just didn't get to it. And then I thought, okay, let me watch Schumacher, and then I will probably attempt to watch Senna one day this week, to be honest with you, now that I've seen Schumacher.
Do you want the bad news or the bad news?
Let's start with the bad news.
Well, it doesn't look like it's on Netflix.
Oh, where did
unless
I...
It was on Prime last year, and then they just kicked it off, so...
Oh, I could have sworn I saved it on... whatever. Well, that's bad news, and...
You can rent it on Prime.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll just borrow my parents' private account.
And I definitely don't know how to stream it.
Because if anybody knows illegal streams, I am all for the illegality of watching Senna, so...
Oh, I'm not saying I do or don't know. I'm just saying that it's illegal. Wink, nudge.
Oh, okay. I'm a little slow, too, because I'm very jet-lagged right now, so we're going to have a rough week.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Let's get through this, though. So, Schumacher. So, you haven't seen Senna. So, I feel like you're kind of missing a baseline of, like, in my imagination, what peak Formula One documentary is and should be, which was Senna. And then, after watching Schumacher, there are many aspects of it I appreciate and loved. I loved the part about Senna. I loved kind of documenting how impactful his first race with Jordan was, like how cool it was, how everybody was buzzing about it, and then how kind of, you know, next thing you know, he's at one of the top four teams in Formula One after one start, which is just crazy. I thought they did a really good job of not pulling any punches when it came to the Villeneuve crash. I think they were very honest, and you know, they even called out his character saying, you know, he went too far. And yeah, I think the document, or, you know, the path to kind of 2000 and what led to that Ferrari driver's title for the first one in forever was really cool. Now, I wish they would have kept going. You know, they kind of went from 2000, they spent 5 minutes on the next four titles, and then, you know, nothing, not a whole lot about Alonso or how he, you know, got kicked out of Ferrari. They spent a little bit on his comeback, and then, you know, obviously the tragic accident on the skiing vacation in 2013. So overall, it was a good documentary. I enjoyed it, but I just feel like between not spending enough time on, you know, just the rest of his career, and there's some parts that were glossed over. I'm kind of sad they didn't interview Johnny Herbert. I bet he would have had some not tremendous things to say. For those who don't know, Schumacher is accused of basically like icing out Herbert from all the engineer meetings at Benetton. So Schumacher got all the info, and Herbert was kind of left behind, and Schumacher got to test everything and Herbert didn't. So I wonder what he would have to say. But yeah, all in all, it was still a really good film. I just feel like comparing it to Senna, I thought Senna was better produced and kind of painted a better picture of Senna's entirety of his career.
It's hard to argue with most of what you said, kind of thinking back on watching it. Now, I watched it because it was 2 hours long, kind of in chunks throughout one of my days last week out in San Francisco. But, you know, as a Michael fan growing up, I did enjoy it. But I also did feel like I wanted to know more about the rest of the Ferrari titles and a little bit more about how the comeback to Mercedes, like what happened to lead up to that, you know, other than the stuff that we publicly know or whatever. So I wanted to hear more on kind of the end of his career, because God, the end of his career was 2000. When was his comeback? 2010?
12 was his last year. He came back 2010 to 2012.
Yeah, so, you know, I wanted to hear more about that, because, you know, those years I wasn't super paying attention to Formula One. I was in college and I had priorities. Mainly I was sleeping when most F1 races were on and wasn't closely paying attention, but I would, you know, look at box scores afterwards. So I would definitely like to hear more about that era. But overall, yeah, I don't want to spoil it, but the end, listening to his family talk about his current health status, was really hard to get through, and I appreciate their honesty, and I appreciate everything Michael's wife and Mick Schumacher and Michael's daughter said, but it's just very sad. But I do respect how private they wanted to and have wanted to keep everything, and the fact that there are, you know, usually when things like this happen, there's a leak somewhere. There has never been a Michael Schumacher leak of any sorts, at least that I know of. So, you know, much respect to that, and seeing Mick tear up at the end there was really hard to, honestly, really hard to get through. I was having a tough day already that day, and seeing that was hard to handle.
Yeah, the ending was well done and sad. I think one of the other things I wanted to point out, it's kind of almost insulting a little bit, was Jean Todt and Ross Brawn, when they flashed their names introducing who they were, they just said friends. It's like, well, they are probably friends, but like, that's kind of lacking context for how important they were in Michael's career. So anyways, that's just one other little gripe I had. But yeah, I would definitely go check it out for sure. It's still really quality, and you know, anything that has an abundance of 90s F1 clips in it, it's always gonna be really cool. So yeah, there's that too.
I'll be watching it a second time, most likely in the next couple weeks, because I think hearing your opinion and hearing some other opinions, I think I want to sit down and watch it again especially after I illegally watch Senna. I mean, legally watch Senna.
Adam Boros claims that a couple of the overtakes they flash as Schumacher highlights were actually Rubens Barrichello.
Okay. We'll let Adam.
Who's also not even mentioned once, I think. I don't think he even gets like 10 seconds in
there. I think they say his name.
Do they? Well, if they do,
again, I'll watch it in you know, a little less than 2 weeks. I've actually already got it planned when I want to watch it. So anyway, let's move on.
What? Hang on a second. So you can't plan your vacations, but you can plan when you're watching Schumacher next?
I'm actually getting better at planning. After my San Francisco journey, I've actually started to plan ahead now. It took me like 34 and a half years, but I'm getting there.
So what were you doing 40 years ago when
you know what? We should move on. I'm not going to dignify that with a response.
Okay. Yeah. Do we have? I know Total Wolf said some things about Bottas, about him being
not even worth going over
in the best form. I don't know why they're pumping him up as they're greasing him out the door.
Because it's good PR, and the PR team's probably like, say nice things so we look like good people, blah, blah, blah. Who cares?
You mean like our old rundowns, how it was say nice things when it came to like, this driver is retiring, say nice things.
Yeah, pretty much. And
I was just too bored to write in like stats and figures and stuff, so I just said say nice things.
I got one thing for you.
Yeah.
It actually, I have not read the article, but it popped up.
Let's see, about Lawrence Stroll?
No, I don't care. I don't want to read about Lawrence. I did see that. I don't care about that. I don't care about it because it's not true. Now I'm angry. So Lawrence Stroll said that his son Lance Stroll is one of the best F1 drivers on the grid. You put a poll on the PLP Twitter account. It was a resounding no. That Lawrence was incorrect, so I agree it was incorrect, and we're just going to leave it. Listen, I don't think Stroll
that
is
wasn't
a
even the thing I was talking about, because that was actually our buddy Otmar.
Oh, right.
You can well, no, but your rant is still very appreciated.
Well, I'm going to keep ranting. So, listen, I don't think Stroll is a Mazepin level of incompetence, but he's not a future champion.
Yeah. I guess I don't have anything to add. No, I think he said something along the lines, what I was referring to, he said something along the lines, well, A, he said that the new factory will help them, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, yeah, probably, duh. And then the second thing he said was that given the exclusions within the budget cap, it's the budget cap era is not going to be as bad as teams think it's going to be. And I'm wondering what he's referring to.
I don't know. I don't know if we have a list of what's included and what's excluded. I'll have to do some more digging here, but it's definitely one of those things that you raise an eyebrow. Like, is the FIA about to get thrown under the bus? Probably rightfully so for the way they've constructed this budget cap.
Yeah. And I guess I just love the fact that the first person to say something was Lawrence Stroll. Like, of course it was Lawrence. Who's the one who's like, ah, we'll be fine. Like, we just built a huge factory. We just, you know, put it on our tax deductions, write-offs, whatever. And we're not counting that towards the budget cap. And I think that's just, like, the most Lawrence Stroll thing ever.
Of course. He looks like a real douche with that weird beard he has in that picture, too. I'm trying to, like, not, like, say... Like, I'm not going to bleep that out. That'll stay in there. But, I mean, he looks real weird.
Hey, you know, if he wants to contribute to our show, I'll say yes.
Oh, 100%. I mean, listen, he could spare a couple $1 million for the show. I think we're worth that much.
Kind of like when Ferrucci donated $5,000 to the cause, so then we only say nice things about him.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I read that on Track Forum. I'm sorry. Never mind.
I was thinking about that. I was sitting in the airport in San Jose before I flew home yesterday, and I was like, I had this, like, you know when I think I was asleep. Oh, I was definitely asleep. And I had a dream that Dan Ticktum's parents donated to the PLP funding so that we would say nicer things about him than most of the internet. And then I woke up and realized that was completely insane and went about my travels home. The F1...
Just saying, I have zero integrity. So, you know, if someone wants to do that...
Yes, by all means, send the money and I will say nice things about you. Or
if Jake Neely gives us $50, will you say something nice about him on air?
Yeah, I will.
Wow. All right, there you go. Our honor is gone.
So the budget cap information is there's nothing specific anywhere. So I don't think we're going to get any insight as to, you know, maybe somebody out there has it, but it's definitely not me.
Sochi. As you said earlier, it is it's the worst track.
Yes.
Spain has potential if they fixed it. I don't know if you can fix Sochi. There's nothing to fix. It's just bad. Then the drivers say they want turn two fixed, which is like, you know, the actual turn one. And I'm pretty sure they haven't. I haven't seen anything saying they've updated anything with that turn. So no. Do you think we're getting through turn one okay?
No.
Okay. Yeah, probably not. Last year, I think the coolest ever moment in Sochi happened, and it was on the
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports-related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.
Recon lap, which kind of says all you need to know about this track. You know, if for those who forgot, it was the Hamilton black flag for doing a warm-up start in the wrong designated area. So then he had to, was it like a stop and hold or something?
I think he had a 10-second penalty, yeah.
Something egregious that didn't fit the crime. Bottas won. Turns out Mercedes is the only team to ever win at this track and the only team to ever win a Russian Grand Prix. Someone had showed an image of like Grand Prix racing that predated Formula One. I think it was like right before or after World War One, where Mercedes had won a couple races. They had won a couple races back then too. So they had three wins in the Russian Grand Prix way back when. Do you see that streak ending?
Let's say we're gonna see a Red Bull return to victory lane this weekend.
Okay. I don't know. Should I go with our buddy Bottas?
That's just. I mean, listen. You do whatever you want to do. It's a very Gen Z type answer, but
what is Gen Z about that?
I don't know. I just wanted to say that.
I'm gonna do it. I'll say Mercedes wins. I'm not going to maybe say Bottas, but I'll say Mercedes wins this weekend.
All right. Respectable.
And I think I saw someone commenting about the fact that everybody needs to chill out about the rain because Spa has scarred some people, apparently. I'm going to Google Sochi weather real quick.
Yeah, that is fair. There definitely is some rain PTSD from sitting there for 6 hours on trying to watch the race and there's no race.
Yeah, it's supposed to apparently rain. There's a chance of rain Saturday, Sunday, and less of a chance on Friday, but still a chance. So,
yeah, it looks like pretty significant chance. Friday, 70% chance. Saturday, 100%. Sunday, 80%. Again, it's only Tuesday, and we don't make our decisions on the weather on Tuesdays. But at this moment, it's not looking great.
Well, there you go. So we can maybe bank on some rain. Maybe that'll be the best thing to ever happen to this race.
Yeah, it gets flooded.
Well, no, not that.
I know what you mean.
Although I would rather watch two laps under safety car than watch a 53-lap dry race or whatever.
You know, I'm okay with that as long as I don't have to sit there for 5 hours also.
Fair. Is there any... There's nothing really other major to report before the race.
Before we do predictions, I'll go with the TV times again. It is the VTB Russian Grand Prix, whatever that means. F1, F2, and F3 are all racing this weekend. F1 qualifying Saturday, 8 a.m. Sunday race, Sunday, 8 a.m. Eastern, so an hour earlier than most of the races this year. F2 is 3:30 a.m. Saturday and 9:45 a.m. Saturday, and then we're stupid early again Sunday morning. Everything F3 is ridiculously early. Actually, I might stay up and watch the 1:30 a.m. F3 race on Saturday. I say that now and I'll be in bed at like 11 o'clock, but nonetheless.
Okay, so we'll do our predictions. I did find one other thing I wanted to talk about, so we'll do that after the predictions. So, who do you have doing good?
Let's go with Sebastian Vettel.
I will say Leclerc. Who do you have doing bad?
You picked him to well, you kind of picked him to win, but not really. So I'm going to go Bottas.
Rude. I'm going to say Danny Ric maybe doesn't follow up his winning form this weekend.
Okay.
And then who is your dark horse top 10?
Well, I'm going to say that for once, Antonio Giovinazzi does not plummet during the race after getting to Q3 for the third straight week. So I will say Gio.
And I will say a hot take in Latifi.
Oh.
There you go. I'm convinced that they're a midfield team.
I'm not, but I understand.
And
your
my
point.
Opinion is slowly but slowly turning on Latifi. I think he's doing much better now for whatever reason.
Frenchie and I discussed that off air a few weeks ago. How maybe Latifi is more than we gave him credit for, and especially now that they're starting to invest in the car. So, yeah, I'll give you credit on that one. I can see where you're coming from there.
Okay, well, look at that. All right, last thing I had that we forgot to talk about that I just thought
We need to do who's going to get eliminated in Q3.
Oh, why do we can't even do that anymore.
I know, that was it's getting kind of predictable at this point. Do
yeah,
you want
let's
to skip,
skip
it?
We don't need it.
Okay.
I had found this poking around the internet, and I had tweeted something about it, so I'm pretty sure you saw it, but it was a quote by David Coulthard on Yuki Tsunoda.
Yeah.
I'm just going to read it, and these aren't my words, so just keep them. Wait, we got our tweets in this article.
Is it really? Can you send me that article?
How the hell did that happen? Look at that. We're famous.
We've been featured in multiple articles in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Look at us go. All right. So it's like halfway down the page. Coulthard just giving his general. I don't know if he's asked or just offered it up. But he said, the first half of the season was quite inconsistent. So from my side, I was a bit surprised. That quote makes no sense. I think that was Tsunoda saying that, actually.
Oh, yeah. I think it's right. You haven't sent it to me, but I'm pretty sure that was Tsunoda at first.
There you go. Here's where Coulthard says. I apologize. I think that was Tsunoda was saying that. Tsunoda was surprised he got retained, which, you know, have some confidence, man. You got this. So Coulthard said, what planet is he from? I think he should pack his little bag and go home now because this is not the voice of a racing driver. I'm shocked they could retain me because I keep crashing. I'd book a plane ticket now and get it nice and cheap because he won't be racing in Formula One beyond the end of next year. Then Damon Hill talks a little bit. I think that's all what Coulthard said, but I don't know. Rude. I think as a Formula One pundit to say that, I think that's a little harsh. And then B, I can't help but think there's a little bit of like underhanded racism in there.
Yes.
I'm getting a little whiff of just like some sort of maybe it's like xenophobia or something with his comments, because we've seen plenty of drivers come up who have been worse than Tsunoda, and a lot of them get a free pass. And for some reason, Coulthard took the opportunity to just slap him down. And the part about like he doesn't have the voice of a driver, like I didn't know that was a prereq for being a great Formula One driver, was having a quote unquote great voice.
He's kind of incredibly arrogant for a guy who isn't an F1 champion. And Frenchie was actually telling me just the other day that in David Coulthard's biography, he's just like an arrogant ass the entire, like, just, you just get this sense of like, this is not somebody I would ever want to associate myself with. And I read that quote and yeah, man, I got this just uncomfortable feeling reading it that like he was toning down how racist he really was so he could get his quote kind of out there without actually being racist. But what room does he have to talk? He doesn't. I mean, shut up. Go away.
Yeah, I mean, if he just said, I don't think his results merited a ride for next season, I think everybody would have been like, oh, yeah, that's fine.
Fair. Just yeah, like, right.
Buy a cheap plane ticket, little man, little voice. Like, ooh, what planet is he from? Oof, not a good look. Yeah. I mean, you and I have shared our thoughts about Tsunoda. I think we were both surprised he got retained for next year. We also both came to the same conclusion that, like, you know, maybe one more year will help him get up to speed, blah, blah, blah. Kicking someone out after 1 year is a little harsh. But, yeah, I think our findings were basically because of what we saw on track and not because the way his voice sounds.
Yeah, I don't care if he says, a lot or says very little. I'm more concerned with how he does on track when I discuss him. Unless he does a Mazepin and says something or does something really stupid off track, then I'm going to judge him. But that's a very extreme example.
Yeah, I will politely wait for Coulthard to call out Mazepin.
Yeah, where is that? I'm waiting for that one. Come on, David. Okay, anyway, I think that's all we got. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the race this weekend. If I can get myself up a little bit earlier than normal, maybe I will hop on and do a live stream before the race, because I am actually not traveling this weekend for like the first time in forever. So I think that's about it, unless, Matt, I'm missing anything.
No, I just did a quick Google. I think the first seven results are all basically the same article in December of 2020 that says David Coulthard thinks Mick Schumacher is going to be in hot water if he can't beat Mazepin.
Oh, so he didn't really say anything.
Yeah, so beyond that, I don't see anything recent.
Fair.
Gotta get both sides here just to make sure that we are factually correct too. And I can't find it. So if you find something, send it to us. But I can't find anything where David Coulthard has come out against Mazepin, who is the worst driver on the grid.
Yes. I think we can end it with that. Ladies and gentlemen, have a lovely weekend of racing.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.